heard that before somewhere. I don't know where from.
The courage to murder someone.
Yeah, there was somebody like, yeah, I killed a guy. I was like, but that takes so much courage. Let me fuck you. I don't know what that was from.
There are crazy people in the world, though. What's his name? Charles Manson had groupies.
Yeah.
You're fucking groupies.
Did he get married the other day?
Yes! To some girl that's like 25 years younger than him, and she's a good looking chick, but Jesus Christ,
I'm sure she's only doing it for the attention. Like, there is
it's gotta be. People get duped into weird stuff.
Or people also get attracted to weird stuff. There's no discounting for taste. There's probably some daddy issues going on there.
But Charles Manson, come
on.
Like, couldn't find the limit.
Charles Manson. The helter skelter race war.
Yeah. Right, should we talk about
we didn't even do
stuff.
What we were meant to.
I don't know, I didn't find a good segue point.
Well, let's just Charles Manson, it's only going to go downhill from there.
How could you not find a good segue point from Charles Manson and
speaking
confidence
of,
in
speaking
murder.
Of race
wars.
Welcome to episode 3 of It's All Canon Now.
How are you forgetting at 3 episodes?
It's hard to keep track. I mean, we've got this document right in front of us that still has all the talking points from the last two episodes.
And it still just says next podcast.
No,
next
podcast. It said podcast points, and next podcast.
Well, this is going to get
confusing.
Anyway,
I'm Alex. Quickly.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Will.
And I'm Ben.
I love it how we reversed
the welcome
order.
To It's All Canon Now.
The host has changed since the last episode as well, but it's not like this is a structured thing.
No,
It's All
no.
Canon is an equal opportunities podcast.
Yes.
We all have an equal opportunity to host if we start talking
first.
Pretty much.
Very true, very true.
So I'm Charles Manson.
Special guest Charles Manson.
Yeah, we have him in, we have him in the studio, which is to say our living room.
Yeah. So what's been happening this week?
Well, who wants to kick off? I could start.
Yeah.
What have I been playing this week? I have been playing... Well, I've actually been really busy, but because I've been working on various different things. I was working on a stage show. How poncy am I? Building the set for it. I wasn't acting because I can't act. Hey! It's mean. Well, as far
as... Is the venue better than last... Because
the venue is so much better than
last
time.
We went
time.
A beehive hairdo's band. Because Ben, John and I went to see this thing last year, because it was around last year.
Yeah, because it's the second
season. We
it's
may have had
the
worst seats. Yeah, same
okay.
show.
It's not exactly the same. It's like,
same,
it's adapted.
Like, yeah.
It's basically what the show, we wanted it to be.
It's
the
Game of the Year
around.
Edition.
Yeah.
It's got all the DLC.
So we were sitting there, and... Like, there's a slight slope and then a flat area
mm-hmm.
in terms of the seating.
Mm-hmm.
And we were on the flat area.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear, the lady who was in front of us had a hairdo that was designed explicitly and specifically to block as much view as possible.
It was
like this giant beehive hairdo that went out as well.
It was like Fran Drescher hair or
also,
something.
Also, you forget... this was a play about poisoners and
a lot of
crime
people
investigations. Like, 75%... of this play is on the ground where we can't see.
Yeah. we got a little bit screwed as far as venues were concerned, because I'm not going to go into too much detail, but we got fucked over the place that we were meant to be, which would have been a lot better for that sort of stuff, because the girl that ran that place got shut down and neglected to tell us, even though that she knew she was going to be shut down for a month before she decided to fucking tell us.
No, I'm sure it'll turn out fine.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll turn out fine. She was just one of those creatives that is a very good creative but a terrible business manager.
Nothing
but anyway,
is wrong.
As far as games that I've been playing, I've really only been playing two games this week. I've been playing
my
League
dick
of Legends.
And my balls.
My dick.
Oh, the League
my...
of Legends issues have been fixed, if anyone has actually
listened
to those. We mentioned that briefly in podcast one, which was like a month ago.
Yeah, we can log back in again. So
for some reason we didn't do anything to fix it.
We did
it's just
nothing.
Weird.
If you want to send us an email anyway.
Oh, what's that email? Podcast at itsallcanon.com.
Don't start this,
not
again. That was half the content of episode 2.
Literally.
Actually,
was.
Is it that? Is it all itsallcanon.com?
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
We don't
yeah.
even know the
email. Yeah, well, like,
it would explain why we didn't get any.
Unending professionalism.
Yeah. Well, there's... The name of the podcast is It's All Canon Now,
yeah,
but the website is It's All Canon.
Yeah.
So podcast at itsallcanon.com. I expect one email this week on this fortnight.
Do it.
We need to meet a quote.
Well,
no one is
listening. We got an email from Podomatic. Do you want me to read that out?
Yeah. No.
No. We'll read it out on the thing, regardless of what it says. Unless it's like...
It'll get to the point where we can just read spam emails. I'll go and register for, I don't know, ChristianMingle.com.
I keep getting emails from RayBans.com, like, sending me offers of cheap sunglasses.
Why do you have
that? I don't even know.
Like, kind of what cool chance... dude that would wear...
I don't wear sunglasses, but at what chance would I even sign up for Ray-Bans?
Someone has signed you up.
I'm sure somebody has.
Yeah, you
fucking bastards.
Just need an email. But I've been playing, so I've been going back through my games collection because I finished, I think last podcast I mentioned that I'd finished Sleeping Dogs, which I've seen some of the video and screenshots for the new...
The second one?
The new edition that they put out.
The game of the year with all the DLC.
Well, yeah.
Was that the one you were playing?
Yeah, the one... No, I was
playing the original.
There were like 27 bits of DLC for Sleeping Dogs.
Yeah,
there was a lot
of DLC, which I haven't played.
Like,
but
decent DLC, or is it like...
Reasonable.
$2 and you get a gun.
I'm just going to say, there was vampire DLC.
So that's... Yep, I'll buy that.
Yeah. for your Chinese
but,
Hong Kong Kung Fu epic.
I actually didn't have a great deal of luck. Do you guys know if it... Is it PC as well, or is it just the next-gen consoles, or the current-gen consoles? Was it just one and
PS4?
No, the new one that they brought out, they've like bumped all the textures up.
No, that's PC as well. You get a discount on that if you already own the previous version.
Well,
it's like 50% off.
We'll very may be doing that.
I seem to remember it being pretty cheap.
But yeah, I've seen some video and screenshots from the new stuff, and it looks fucking gorgeous, man. It looks fucking gorgeous. And that game's just so much fun. I don't know how it didn't get more popular than
much
it was.
It.
Its sales were great. Well, not Squeenix great. They were like underperformed, but you know, Squeenix are a little bit overexcited about how many units they think they're gonna move.
Like numbers.
I think like despite all the DLC, it just had a fairly like short tail on it. Not like Tomb Raider that just sort of, you know, had that big burst of sales up front and they just kept selling and selling and selling and selling.
Oh, right.
I think Sleeping Dogs, as soon as it was out of the public consciousness, no one was buying it anymore.
But a great game, you could call it, it's basically GTA set in China with, and the story's really cool. So I highly recommend that, which I've said before. But I've been playing Borderlands 2. I've been getting back into Borderlands 2 this week. I'll give you a soft high five.
Really?
I don't know. I really enjoyed Borderlands 1, and then I think I enjoyed the first bit of Borderlands 2 when I played it, but now I'm playing the rest of it, and I'm kind of bored.
Oh, I'm so disappointed. I love Borderlands 2. I played through it. I've got like 150 hours on it in Steam. Mm. I played through all of it with a mate of mine from school, and I loved every minute of it. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Played through all the DLCs as well.
I don't know.
Is it the gameplay, the writing, or what?
I think probably what it is because I've taken a break. Because I haven't played the game in like 4 months, and then I've come back and I'm like, I'm not invested in the story anymore, so I'm not really interested in progressing that. I feel like the loot system isn't particularly great. You'll play through an entire level and you'll feel like if you finish a story level that's at level, you should get a better gun during that level. You so often do not.
But it's Diablo, like that's the way it works sometimes.
Yeah, I don't know.
I've never played 2. Does 2 have much of a story in comparison to 1?
More of a story.
You could blast through 1 in like a single sitting and you still wouldn't be invested.
No, there's
in
like
story
a central
there isn't one.
There's just like a central antagonist who's really funny called Handsome Jack.
I've heard a few of his quotes.
Yeah, he's really good. I think the writing's really solid. Written by Anthony Birch,
who does
no
what
one knows
else.
He's Ashley Birch's brother.
Who is?
Hey Ash, what you playing?
It's those two, and Ashley Birch does
voice of Tiny Tina.
Tiny Tina, and she does the voice of Isla in Awesome Nauts and
Puppy Cat?
Sasha. Oh yeah, she's Bee.
I think you're missing the big one.
Sasha from Attack on
Titan. The entire Birch family are downloadable characters in Saints Row.
Oh okay, yeah, and the dad.
Add them
and
to
the
your
dad?
Posse, yeah, Papa Birch.
Oh my god,
wow,
that's great.
To play Saints Row.
Anyway, I like Anthony Birch.
Yeah,
so,
I guess.
I like both of them.
Yeah, I had a point that I was going to make. Oh, I think what I need to stop doing in those types of games is not doing all the side quests. I feel like I've got to do all the side quests just to get it. I feel like I should just go and play the story and be done.
All the side
and if
quests.
I really enjoyed it, go back and do the side quests. Because it's got a scaling thing once you finish the game, doesn't it? You can go back and redo stuff.
a new game plus thingy.
There's absolutely a new game plus.
Yeah, there's a new game. It's like true Vault Hunter mode or something. It's new game plus.
Okay, but do you just play through the entire game?
It's just the same thing again, but everything's at like level 50, I think.
Interest lost.
Yeah, it's not. Nothing changes, but I started.
No, I would have gone back if it were like. Because, I don't know, I've been doing some of that side quest stuff, and, you know, there's obviously. There's more quests than you need necessarily for levels and loot in order to be able to do the game, and you just sort of just shooting shit, no sort of challenge to
it. I want
it,
a gun that makes that noise.
I picked up a gun. I don't know if you had it. There's this gun. It's a really good gun. It shoots like, it's an SMG, and it shoots like crazy amounts. It does huge amounts of damage, but the thing fucking has this irritating voice, and it comments on every fucking thing you do. If you change into it, it goes, "Swapping weapons!" And then when you like reload, it gets like, "Reloading!" And you can't move when you're using it either.
Is this the same?
Did I put a solid block in the recording?
I'm just looking at the levels. It's just like...
Is this the same one
that when you fire it, it doesn't sound like a gun? It's like somebody just like behind you going...
Yeah. Just someone in your ear just screeching at you.
It's such a good gun, but it's so
irritating. Did you guys ever see that video of the Half-Life 2 mod that one guy did? And he got all the sound effects in the game and just... sort of did his voice impersonations on, so it's just this entire amazing. Game.
Yeah, I did see that, and there was a guy did that rocket launcher in Minecraft as well.
I've seen the Minecraft one of that where it's like squish, squish, squish,
yeah.
Tap, 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 break.
Yeah, so I've been playing that, and I've been, and I don't know, I would, I mean, I'm not. From my experience in the game, I would say buy it, but don't pay any more than $20 for it, which you can probably get it for.
As far as I was aware, there was a sale on Green Man Gaming or something pretty recently. It was like $10 or something, and you could pay like an extra $7 and get all the DLCs, which I would recommend doing. The DLCs are a bunch of fun, specifically the Tintina one.
The D&D one.
You're playing as her D&D campaign. It's fantastic.
Yeah, so I'll. Yeah, I might go back and check out. I don't think I have the DLC, but I have no idea. I bought it in like Steam sale last year, so I can't remember.
Steam share DLC?
It depends. If you've got the Game of the Year edition, I think that's all shared.
Because that's all.
Because there are two separate
entries
in Steam for it.
I was going to say, because you might be able to just grab it off my account.
Okay, well, actually, yeah, Steam sharing is...
Since I reinstalled Windows,
I lost Ben's because I was looking at. I was wanting to play some of the Metal Gear Solid slashy chop
Revenge
games.
Is so good.
But anyway, enough about me. Ben, you've been playing some fun shit this week.
Well, I'll leave the major one for Alex because I'm sure he wants to talk about that. But I've been on a real Zelda kick this week. For anyone who's still listening at home, you'll remember I picked up a Wii U last episode, and in the meantime I grabbed Hyrule Warriors. I'm one of the few people who actually enjoys those games, but I'm smart enough to not play all of them and only play the ones I'm super interested in, which generally means I don't play anything to do with the Yellow Turban Rebellion anymore.
So it's like Guitar Hero games.
I don't know. Guitar Hero, the fun is in the music. So like, you look at the track list, and if there's stuff that you want to play in there, you buy it. If there's not, well, just leave it on the shelf.
Then don't buy it.
Exactly. But yeah, so Hyrule Warriors, lots of fun. There is a ridiculous amount of content in that game. I finished the main story mode, and I'm not even close to having seen everything. I think I've got another 3 characters to unlock, and I haven't even seen all the weapons. The weapons are really cool. So you've got sort of the weapons you'd expect to see the characters with, so... Impa's got a giant sword. Link's got a sword and board.
Tell them about the horse.
We'll get onto the DLC in a bit.
Horse armor?
But yeah, you can get new weapons based on other items in the franchise. So one I used for the first time last night was the fire rod, which Link's the past little dinky stick, shoots fireballs.
Yeah.
Boring. This thing is a weapon of mass destruction in Hyrule Warriors. Like, you're summoning fire dragons, it transforms into like a rifle looking thing. It's crazy. It's great. I love it.
So it's a Dynasty style
game. It is. Make no bones about it. It is a Dynasty Warriors game. But I don't know how much about it in the main franchise. I think the last one I really played was One Piece Pirate Warriors. But there are a few new mechanics for capturing keeps. Rather than just killing everything, you
kill guys down to a point, and then the Keep Commander will appear. You kill him, and the Keep's captured. There's a little more skill involved. True to Zelda form, you've got different items, bombs, hookshots, arrows, that certain enemies are weak against, and if you can put them into a weakened state, you can do a big finisher move, which is a lot of fun.
I'm really disappointed that there's not more stuff like Oracle of Ages and Seasons and Link to the Past and, you know, Wind Waker, that old stuff, like, you know, do a Windfish level.
Yeah, do a Hyrule Warriors 2, and we'll get Wind Waker, we'll get Phantom Hourglass, we'll get Spirit Tracks.
No Spirit
Minish
Tracks.
Minish Cap
can stay. Spirit Tracks cannot.
I wish I knew what all of these words meant.
So, like, the for the DLC, or rather, like, the content in the game for Hyrule Warriors, there's a lot of, like, Majora's Mask and Ocarina of Time and Twilight Princess.
Gotcha.
But they don't have...
I've played those ones.
But they don't have, like, the 2D... like some of the Game Boy ones, like Link's Awakening or Oracle of Ages.
They're
putting all
the
sort
of that.
Not that
I think it'd be really cool if they brought in some stuff from those. I mean, there's a lot of things like items from those old games. I mean, mm-hmm. Fire Rod, I think the last game that was in was Link to the Past.
Yeah.
No, it would have been Link Between
Worlds.
Yeah,
of course.
As well.
But that's Link. Like
yeah.
The past.
I'm kind of disappointed there's not more from that.
Yeah.
You know, it's,
well,
it's,
maybe that was in development at the same time. It's like,
could
we don't
have been.
Know how
could
much.
Have been.
Yeah. Anyway.
But yeah, like, I'm loving the character designs. Like, they've just made some small tweaks to them that sort of make them fit more as warriors than adventurers.
Mm.
So Link's got sort of shoulder armor on one side, and he's got the really cool scarf. Zelda's impartial plate armor, which looks really, really cool.
She's definitely
not
Sheik.
I just wish she played better. Sheik just kind of looks like Sheik. I mean, you can't really change that too much. Durini is still basically naked, but yeah, they've got a real long tail plan for DLC on that. There's been a few packs released so far. Epona is completely broken, and I don't mean that in a good way.
The camera spazzes out so
that
much.
Game was not designed for fighting and moving that quickly, and the camera just cannot cope. they've added three new characters for free, so you get the three villain characters. Sia, who is obviously designed by Tecmo Koei and Team Ninja. Wizro,
she
who
had boobs.
Yeah, it's boobs for days.
Thank you for explaining this to me.
You got Wizro, who's one of those sort of weird, creepy one eyeball wizard guys from, I think, Link to the Past and probably a few others. And you've got, I think his name's Volga. Who
Dragon
is,
Man.
Yeah, he's basically Vivolgia from Ocarina of Time as Lubu.
Yeah.
So they've been added as free. Next week, I think they're releasing the Twilight Princess pack. So they've announced that human form Midna is going to be one of the two characters released with that. She looks really cool.
Mm.
I
would like human form Midna, I think.
Pardon?
I liked human form Midna in Twilight Princess.
Oh yeah, that's what we're talking about.
It's pretty sexy.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was implying.
Midna
is one of the best characters they've had in years. I'll be interested to see who else comes out of that, because
we had a thing about it.
They've already got Zant, who's the villain, well, one of the villains from Twilight Princess, and they've got Agatha, so they've scraped the bottom of the barrel already.
Yeah.
Wait, isn't
she's the girl who asks you to get bugs? And she is a playable character in a Warriors game.
What the fuck?
Wait, she's playable?
Yes.
Serious?
Yes. I haven't unlocked her yet, but she's playable, and apparently she's awful.
That's the
that's
one you need to unlock
stupid.
Next. Jesus.
For bees and things.
But that would be terrifying.
Bees. Yeah, so I'm not sure who else there really is left. Maybe Stelfos Ocarina of Time Link.
Maybe.
That would be really cool.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, one of the Resistance members. But, yeah, they've got that plan. They've got a Majora's Mask pack coming out. I assume they're going to time that to release around the same time as Majora's Mask 3D.
You play more Zelda games. Will's just sitting here nodding.
I don't know. I think you would probably enjoy them if you gave them a chance.
Yeah, I probably would. I do.
Like, start with a good one. But, because some of them, they don't start with Majora's Mask. I mean, I know a lot of people out there love it. I think it's pretty good, but it is so unapproachable in so many ways.
Yeah.
You just gotta wait for we talked about this last fortnight, and they have said that they're planning on making it a lot more approachable. So.
Okay.
Well, going back to that, you know, playing this, that got me in the mood to play some real Zelda, so I've been playing the Ocarina of Time 3D remake on my 3DS, and they've added a lot of sort of quality of life features in that. Things like there's a Spirit Stone the little eyeball stone guys that you can crawl inside, and he'll give you hints as to things that you can still do. So as with the N64 version, there's a bunch of dots on the map that are flashing and basically say there's something here that you haven't found or haven't done. And if you go to the stone, you can get more specific hints about that. It'll show you a little video of, you know, say you've got to do the water temple and you need the blue fire to melt the red ice. It's a real thing, well. So there'll be a little video of Link running around the side of the area to show you vaguely where the cave is.
Red ice.
So if they add that kind of thing into Majora's Mask, I think that's going to solve a lot of the problems I have with that game.
Do you want to talk about the new DS that you bought at all?
Yeah, it's I've got the new 3DS, came out yesterday. If there's anyone listening
fuck
from
you
America,
and your disposable income.
If there's anyone listening from America, haha, enjoy that next year.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, apparently we get it before everyone else for some reason.
Who knows? Yeah, I didn't even pre-order. I walked into the EB Games on Swanson Street, said, look, didn't pre-order. Have you got any left? They said, yeah, we've got loads. So okay. I grabbed the black one. It's really nice. It's going to be an absolute fingerprint magnet because it's glossy. But
I don't understand why you make these things glossy.
Yeah.
Fuck you!
Like, I love the design of the 3DS XL. That's great. But
is that matte? Is it?
That's, yeah, it's got a matte finish on it. I'm kind of disappointed.
Just
want to
sand
they,
it down. Sand down.
You can get faceplates for the little new 3DS, but you can't for the big one, which is what I got. So I assume they'll just be selling a bunch of limited edition ones of those to make more money.
Mm.
Yeah, the 3D screen stabilizing feature, that's really good. The old one, if you tilt it like 1 degree, you get a bunch of crosstalk. And, well, I've never really had any problems with headaches with it.
Yeah, I did a little bit. I played of yours, but apparently some people do, some people don't.
Yeah, so you tilt it the tiniest amount and you lose all the 3D and everything looks terrible. This uses the forward-facing camera to detect your face, and it dynamically figures out which pixels should be left eye pixels and which should be right eye pixels.
Mm.
So you can tilt it probably,
I'd say about 15,
20 degrees, and it'll try to keep up with your face. And it generally seems to do a pretty good job. Unfortunately, because it doesn't take SD cards, it takes micro SD cards, I'm still transferring my data across from my old 3DS.
That's
from when you got home yesterday.
Yeah, I put it on yesterday, and I guess when I got up out of my chair, I must have accidentally kicked the charger out of the wall. So during the night, it probably finished copying, but there would have been a step asking me to confirm, and then the battery died on one of them. So I get up this morning, it says something about losing the connection and it'll have to restart. So fortunately I haven't lost anything, but I will lose another 6 hours waiting for it to copy across.
Lots of fun.
Pretty impressed with it so far though.
Yeah, I'll probably pick one up because there's a bunch of stuff I want to get. Mega 10 4.
Yeah, that's really good. What I've played of it so far.
Ocarina, I want to get Majora's Mask, and of course
Bravely Second.
Bravely
when it comes
Second
out.
Of course.
Oh, can't wait.
We can talk about that a bit later.
Yeah,
maybe.
So that's
anyway,
what I've been up
yeah.
to this week.
What you been playing?
Oh, the big news is, of course, Walls of Draenor, but since John's been playing that as well, we'll talk about that once we're all finished.
We basically all just passed it along to the next
person. Yeah, well, like...
You can't pass it on to me, mate.
Yeah.
I've been
what
playing it.
What do you
it.
Think about
yeah.
Walls of Draenor, Will?
It's a matter of time, Will.
Resistance.
Which
resist.
Warlord is your favourite?
The blue one.
Gul'dan, clearly.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, anyway.
Hashtag Gul'dan did nothing wrong. Hashtag good Dan.
Good Dan.
Good Dan.
Your
name's just Dan.
Nizul's not a warlord, was he? He was one of the...
No, I think he's on the loading screen, isn't he?
But he's not a warlord, was he?
No, he was the shaman of his tribe.
Yeah, that's one thing. Anyway. I've been reading. Rivers of London, which was recommended to me last week, which is really good.
By a listener?
No, by my cousin.
Thought we had one.
So she's like, oh yeah, you should get it, because she's a Londoner herself, and it's set in London. And she's like, oh yeah, you should read it, it's really good. It's like, what if Harry Potter was a police officer? I'm like, oh okay, sure, let's read this. So it's about basically a young police constable who has the ability to like sense magic and do magic, and it becomes like a magical apprentice, but he's still a police officer. So they're going around doing police things and like clearing out houses of vampires. So they basically, there's this one bit where they find two vampires in the basement of a house and they're sleeping. So they killed them with flashbang grenades.
Nice.
Yeah, and there's this the overarching like thing is like a whodunit about people are going kind of crazy randomly and going super violent, and there's this war between this territorial war between the two river spirits of the Thames. So there's like Father Thames and Mother Thames, and there's like a turf war going on there. Anyway, it's really good. I'd recommend it if you like kind of urban fantasy, or fantasy in general.
More Harry Potter.
Harry Potter. It's not, I mean, it's described like Harry Potter, but it's not that much like Harry Potter. It doesn't have the scar.
Is it, what would you describe it as? Adult fiction?
I would describe it as young adult fiction.
Young adult fiction.
Yeah, yeah.
So sort of like an audience at something like Skullduggery Pleasant. Or
yeah, kind of...
yeah, from what you've said, it sounds very similar to
16,
that
17, 18.
Okay.
Maybe a bit younger.
That stuff's fine as long as it's well written.
It's
well
written.
Is it a series or a standalone?
It's a series. There's three or four. But it's not super young because the guy is like 20-something years old. And
okay.
There's talk about sex and boobs and him lusting after people, so
boobs.
Yeah, they're great. But it's not
boobs feel
great.
Like a vampire.
Yeah,
they
yeah.
Kill them.
But he mentions this stuff, so it's probably a little bit older. Beyond that, I got a new phone, which is really sexy. Got the
huge,
gigantic Samsung Galaxy Note 4.
I'm a little jelly.
It's pretty sick.
Oh, you got the Note 3.
I've only
you?
Got the 3.
Yeah, so the screen is gigantic because I had an iPhone 4, which is tiny in comparison. And I turned on this thing, it's like, well, now I need to spend six hours setting this up the way I want. Like, the iPhone's really good if you just turn it on and it just works. Whereas this is really good because you turn it on, like, well, I have to remove all this bloatware and do this and this and this. But you can customize it, you know, much more, which is really good. So I jailbroke that. Been playing around with that. I like the voice functionality where you're just like, hey, send me a reminder when I get home.
Mm.
And it knows when you're home. It knows where you live.
I don't know if yours uses a different one to mine, because I'm on Android as well, but the, what do they call it, Google Now?
Yeah, the Google Now
thing that on mine, I have to use a bad American accent in order for
okay.
it to
no,
understand
mine's
me.
Fine. Yeah.
I like use the navigation stuff on it, because I'm driving and I don't want to be touching my phone so I don't crash. But I'll say, if I say navigate to home, with my Australian accent, it translates that as navigate to harm.
Okay.
It's not really where I want to be going, so I have to go navigate to
home. Turn
around,
drive in the wrong lane.
You have to really over-pronunciate the O.
I can't really tell. Maybe your accent's stronger than mine.
Possibly. But you were raised in New Zealand, so that means you're like posh.
Yeah, but it doesn't...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, the New Zealand gentry.
I was only in New Zealand for like 4 years, and I've lived here for the last nearly 15.
No, you guys are all... I mean, you, Jonathan and... You're both from Melbourne.
Yeah, well, no, we're Australian.
I'm from the sticks, and I grew up around very country people, so I probably got a stronger accent. But
yeah, it could be. I don't know. But maybe it's the
Shall we talk about the regional differences in the Australian accent?
Well, I heard the South Australian sound more like the English.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but seriously though, like
they do,
they have a more English accent.
Or do they have a higher percentage of Australia?
No, it's just
English.
The accent in like Adelaide is
pass me the caviar.
More neutral than that.
it's not Christmas without caviar.
That's why it's just one of those things.
Yeah.
If someone from overseas would hear it, they'd think it all sounds the same, but to us it sounds a bit
different. Oh, and like Queenslanders and further
strong.
North, you have that drawl.
The
like
more,
very nasally.
Fucking
oh,
Bogans.
you got the more Steve Irwin
type
Australian accent, which is very strong.
It's the home of the Bogan.
But beyond that, I haven't been playing a huge amount beyond Worlds of Draenor. A little bit more Freedom Wars, but that kind of dropped off a little. LOL again, but... there's a new champion release, but no one's interested in that.
We played too much LOL, and this is not going to become the LOL cast.
No.
It becomes whatever cast it becomes. It's going to be the WoW cast this week.
Yeah. Anyway, so what have you been doing, Jonathan?
Let's see. A couple of days ago, I picked up a copy of Far Cry 4 for $35. That was pretty good.
A whole $35.
It was a new release for $35. I was pretty happy.
That's pretty amazing.
Grimmer Gaming was like, here, have a code. And I'm like, fuck yeah. I used my like credit thing. So I
oh,
like to go on for $35. That was good. I downloaded
How
that.
How is it?
I am incredibly unimpressed with it so far.
Really?
So,
I've heard really good things about it.
So, from what I saw of all the videos, it was like, it's Far Cry 3. That's like all it is, but it's a new area, and it like
but
it fixed a few things.
Far Cry 3 was alright.
And I love Far Cry 3, so I was like, well, fuck yeah. And so I waited until, what's his name? There's a thing called a port report, Total Biscuit.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to see how well it would run on PC.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, it came back with relatively good news with a few issues if you're running it on Super Ultra. But I always run games on low graphics anyway because I like to max out my FPS.
You're an idiot.
So I just like seeing like 120, a solid 120.
You get it to 60 with the best graphics you can get at 60.
But here's the problem. On medium, it defaulted to high graphics, and I'm like, alright, that's good. So it means I can drop it down a bit and it'll run really smooth. No, runs like absolute shit. I'm getting like 40 FPS solid, and I don't know why, I don't know how, but you know how, like, in the distance, when shit's really far away, it just loads like a 2D version of it?
Yeah.
Nah, doesn't do that.
Oh, it loads the full 3D.
Only loads the 2D.
Oh, just the 2D, and it doesn't reload the 3D back in?
But every now and then it will load the 3D, but only for a second.
Oh, boy.
So I'm like, you know, you have those, like, zip lines and shit, and I'm zip lining down, and all the, I can see all the trees
you just
like,
hit,
flashing,
you,
like, violently.
You just hit this, like, 2D cut out of a tree.
Yeah, no, and like, I got to, like, this town, and, like, I was like, let's go out of the town. I'm like, yeah, the trees look pretty nice. Let's go, like, have a look at the textures. Walk around it. Hold up. Hold up.
This tree
just,
is the same.
Just only 2D. So I don't know if it's like not compatible with my graphics card or if the port is just fucked. But I haven't like verified Game Father
yet. I don't know.
Yet.
Ubisoft are generally pretty good with PC ports.
He's the only one who didn't chime in there. I'm clearly missing something.
Watch Dogs. The whole
Watch Dogs didn't run that bad. Didn't
but they,
run
they
bad
pretty
as
much
this.
They purposely hamstrung it.
Oh, well, yeah, no, but whatever. I always run on low graphics anyway,
yeah,
so I didn't
you
care.
You just go into the any file and, like, go
change
SV
PC
underscore shitty graphics to zero.
Fuck it out. But yeah, I'm playing that. So far, unimpressed. Gonna see how it runs on a.
So, are you unimpressed with gameplay, or are you just unimpressed with the look of it? Because it's obviously.
I'm unimpressed with how it's running. Gameplay wise, it just seems pretty much identical to Far Cry 3, which was fine, but. Like, it just runs, like, really, really bad on my PC.
Yeah.
I've got a GTX 660 Ti, maybe not Ti.
It's a little old at this point.
It is a little older. I built it in 2000...
It's solid, but...
Late 2012, early 2013. I haven't upgraded much of it since then. So, and the only thing I have upgraded is hard drive space. That's not exactly an upgrade, but...
No.
But yeah, it's... As far as performance is concerned, it's not exactly an upgrade.
I don't know why I went to that voice.
It's now the Poshcast.
Yeah,
that's
me. Back to the game. I gotta ask, did you get the secret ending?
Which one? No, I did read about that on Reddit, where it's like, you can just not move for a bit and the game will just end.
Yeah,
I didn't do that because I was like, that sounds so fucking boring.
For the other guys who don't know, there's a part in the story. What's the villain guy? What's his name?
Pagan.
Okay, Pagan. So, yeah.
Yeah.
He's clearly a villain, name like that.
Yeah.
You're in his castle mansion, whatever it is, and he gets a phone call. He says, can you just hold on a minute? I got to take this. And he leaves the room. And if you wait for about 13 minutes or so, he'll finish up his phone call and he'll come back and you get a different ending.
Oh, okay.
And the game just ends.
Like, the game ends there.
This is after the first, like, cutscene. This is, like, when you first gain control of your
That's
mouse to look around the room.
That's hilarious.
So yeah, no, I might go try that. But yeah, no, it reminds me
of there's a Wario game where that happens, where there's like a bunch of different branching paths.
Wario.
And at the start of the game, you're just sleeping, and like all your stuff is being taken. So at the very start of the game, you're sleeping in your bed. You press any button, and you hop up out of bed, and the game starts. If you stay in bed, right, you get picked up along with your treasure,
yeah,
and there's another branching path.
That's fantastic. God,
you played Frog Fractions.
Other than that, I played Frog Fractions last night. Boy, oh boy, that was an experience.
Yeah, he had
much like getting
about
stabbed.
Yeah.
I've never heard anything about Frog Fractions.
So, like, you have to play Frog Fractions.
Never understood it all.
He starts playing it.
But, well, all of you guys were like, you know, pretty excited for me playing this. Took ages to load, and I kept asking questions, and they kept snickering, trying not to give anything away, and then. And I finally found out if you could go off the screen and then it just goes off the fucking rails.
Which was your favourite part?
My favourite part is very hard to... Probably the surprise when it just turns into a text adventure game for like no reason.
I love that. It's just like, is this really a text? Oh no, wait, this is a significant part of the game.
To the one person out there, I know I shouldn't tell you to turn off the podcast, but turn off the podcast right now.
No, keep it open.
If you haven't played Frog Fractions, go and play it, because it's something that you should play without being spoiled.
Yeah. Sorry if I just spoiled it.
Yeah, well, you've got the hard part now. Just go back and listen to that, so you can figure out how to actually start the game.
Don't listen to any more of this podcast without playing it.
Yeah.
But from it really does just take off.
Yeah.
Like
it goes weird.
Like it's just a normal, innocent game.
It was pretty weird to begin with.
Not really, like...
But you're licking things and fractions are happening, but the game makes no sense.
It doesn't make any sense, but it's still like...
I mean,
like,
yeah, it's...
Like Math Blaster.
Yeah, it's normal-ish.
But then it gets to, you know, this part, and then, like, from that point on, it doesn't make any sense.
No.
My favourite bit is the bit where you're floating through tunnels and then you get a history lesson.
Oh, the history lesson
of boxing.
Andre Felipe.
And then there's some weird fat walrus guy sitting watching his TV, and then there's a RoboCop
version of that.
Fat walrus watching his TV as well. It makes no sense. It's fantastic.
It is wonderfully fantastic. Wonderfully fantastic.
Should we talk about Walls Drainer?
Will hasn't played this, so we'll keep it.
I mean, if anyone listened, those that listened to episode one, if we have any persistent listeners by this point, will know that I was like that guy that you hear about that played too much World of Warcraft. That was me. I was that stereotype, and I don't want to go back to that, man, and I'm worried that it'll happen.
Did you ever have a poop sock?
Didn't have a poop sock.
You can
hold a poop a lot more easy than you can hold a pee, though. That can be clenched.
You mean
off.
Like in your hand or like in?
that is true.
No, inside of my body.
Literally,
to hold pee, you need like two.
Yeah, you gotta cup it. But with a toad, you can just be like, well, fuck it, I can just hold this.
I don't know. My diet at that point was pretty bad. I don't know if I would have been able to hold it.
It's liquid shit.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on to something more tasteful.
Fecal transplants.
There have been some huge launch issues with Walls of Draenor.
For 2 days.
Yeah, but do you want to go into it?
Of course. Briefly. There were queues out the arse.
Yep.
Like, you first started and it was fine, and you're just playing, but it was super lag. I'm like, well, this is to be expected. They scale it back, so at least as I understand it, they scale back the number of people that could be in a server at one time to get some stability. And
do you know by what proportion?
Usually I think they're like relatively normal servers, about 1,500 people.
Mm-hmm.
15,000 rather. 15,000 to 20,000 people.
Right, yeah.
The queues, when I logged in on the Saturday after it was released, which was the Thursday, there was a 3,000 queue in which I was in for 6 or 7 hours.
Yeah.
And I didn't get in because it went down.
The servers went down
for maintenance. That's now fine. But it was super irritating, and they're giving everyone five free days of game time for it. Beyond the launch issues, the expansion is one of the best, I think.
From what I've played, I haven't played much of it because I've got like one of each 90 without buying any of the boosts. And I got burnt. I'm burnt out.
Yeah, if you do that, of course you burn yourself out. So you take it slow, you read the quests, and you just, you know, do what you want to do. You don't sit there and level 9 characters.
First time,
no, you've got to get them all their garrisons so you get those free mats.
First time I played to whatever the level cap was at the time, I think it was 85 for Catter. I was like, that was great.
Yeah,
let's see how fast we can do it. And then place Throne of the Mage, and then like Warrior and Paladin.
Yeah.
You're insane. So
yeah,
I heard that during the launch there was DDoSing issues or something.
Yeah, there was a DDoS as well. Yeah,
I didn't hear about this.
Something from China. some DDoS attack. I don't know, they're upset that they're probably still on Wrath.
there is
a DDoS attack, but I don't think that was... I mean, it was an issue, clearly.
Because you were talking about issues with Chuggerinoing. Was that just because everyone was in the same area?
Like, everyone who was playing WoW at that point in time would have been in that one area.
This is the first time where... I suppose at least they split up the factions, but there has only been one thing to go and do when the expansion launches, and that's to go to the new zone and start leveling.
You can't
and
start
there is a linear quest progression.
Yeah.
So you start a quest A, you go to quest B, you go to quest C, and it's not until you're a good ways into the first... do we count the portal as the first zone?
It's
not until you're a good ways into the second zone,
the
then,
proper
that
zone, because I consider that an introductory quest.
Well, that we didn't have near the problems with clicking on trees.
Yeah.
Great quest design. There are objects that are only clickable by one person at a time, everyone needs to do this quest.
I'm so happy that they brought in.
So
that,
I did
like,
that.
You can't
I did
steal
that,
other people's items.
I did that the next. Oh, so there was an issue with trees. I mean, everyone, if you're playing at launch, knew about the trees where... Or the flags to cut down trees in the first zone. Anyway, with like 200-300 people each trying to click this one flag. At which point only one person can click at a time. It was
also at that point, the servers were so unstable that you could barely see a couple of feet away from where your character was just because nothing past that was able to load in.
Yeah.
So... turns out, you know, coming back a while later, there are loads of flags around that area.
Lots of trees.
But
I did it the next morning, no issues.
You had to just run around and hope that you, A, found one of these things, and B, were able to click it within the next hour.
Yeah. So, issues aside, I love the throwbacks to the old Warcraft 1 and 2 with all the old orcs. The level designs, I like the zone designs are really cool.
It reminds
garrisons
me,
are really
reminds
fun.
Me a lot of both Wrath and BC, the way the zones look. Because I didn't like... There was no zone in Mists of Pandaria that like stood out as being, holy shit, holy past tense pooping. That's really cool.
A lot of them were really
like,
solid. Like the Pandaria zones.
I quite liked them.
Like they weren't bad. Like, I didn't dislike them, but there wasn't any that was like...
I think
Jesus,
some of that grandeur
like,
is you can
amazing.
Only use... I think some of that grandeur is that you can only use ground
mounts. Can only use ground mounts, which is...
Until 6.1, the next patch will allow flying
mounts.
You can't use flying mounts at all.
That's good. Because it means that you don't just, like, land on a quest, farm all the mobs, and take off and hand it in.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they'd normally limit that to at least hitting a level cap. So you'd be leveling, and then you'd get flying. So you'd still be limited to the ground
and
for a while.
Good news for WoW, because if you know anything about WoW dies, quotation marks, every expansion. It's like, this has killed WoW. WoW's
dying.
WoW is
it's terrible. They're only getting 10 million times $15 every month.
Oh, it doesn't quite work like that, because China pays a different amount. But anyway,
semantics aside.
Yeah. No, but it's back up to 10 million subs, which is not at the peak, but it's very, very solid.
What was it up from?
7.5, 8.
That's pretty good.
From everything I've heard, they've got a lot more people coming back to this expansion than they ever expected. So.
Yeah, and I'm happy to see them, you know, doing well again. Not that they were doing badly, but you know, it's good to see WoW healthy and their visual design's only getting better. Their quest design's only getting better.
I was
going to
say, there's nothing's getting worse. It's all getting better. Like,
yeah,
except for the loot system. Fuck that.
They changed the loot system, and they changed back.
Oh,
the personal
it's already
loot.
Done.
They've improved the personal loot system, and we're not going to get into the technical details. But the last boss of every dungeon is guaranteed to drop something for everyone.
Okay.
Anyway, so let's move away from WoW, I think, because
we'll be
here. WoWcast and Will's not...
And I won't be able to say anything for the rest of the podcast.
You can see twitching.
The GTA stuff's next, if you want to go for that, Ben.
Yeah, okay, so Rockstar have released a new patch for Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
San Andreas.
Yes. So, you know, just in case you
patch
wanted to...
Patch in quotation marks.
Just in case you wanted to go back and play for an hour and then realize that
all
you needed to do was follow the damn train, but you couldn't do it.
So,
except for that one time you fluked a jump and jumped the motorbike on top of the train. It was the greatest thing ever.
So Ben, how much content has been added to this
patch?
Oh,
there are some amazing new features. Feature one, it has gamepad support now. Which is definitely
not the best way to play that game. Yeah, the auto lock on and shooting guys is nowhere near as satisfying or effective as just aiming with the mouse and shooting. So there's that. Second feature, they have stripped out a bunch of songs from the radio that they no longer have the rights to use.
What a feature.
What a feature.
Good feature.
Feature.
And the final feature of this patch is that it has broken one resolution, 1920x1080.
Which does like work. Like, what, 70% of every... 70% of all...
It's, yeah. Okay. It's such a high-end game, no one's going to be able to render at that resolution.
Yeah, that's a standard 22-inch...
Who doesn't play...
Render, isn't it?
Well, it doesn't matter about the screen render. Size. It's
pretty much the standard resolution.
Yeah. It's pretty much the standard resolution.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, wonderful. It's great.
What the rockstar.
So, yeah, I was pumped to play some more San Andreas, but now that's really turned me off. I've moved on to Zelda now.
So interchangeable.
Yeah.
GTA 5 has had some good news though.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of stuff coming out.
First-person patch was released, which looked pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm incredibly hyped for GTA 5 for PC.
Yeah, I've held off for the inevitable PC version.
So
I think I've made the right choice.
Yeah.
Apparently, it looks great on the current gen consoles.
It looked great on PS3 and whatever the other Xbox equivalent is. It looks. 360? I don't like Xbox at all. Sorry, one fan.
don't worry. I think for the most part we're Sony.
Yeah,
I think
more Sony weighted.
Europe definitely
is. I don't know where we lie on the spectrum.
It looked good.
Well, last Fortnite, it was Australia is definitely PlayStation 4. Yeah,
it looked good on PlayStation 3. It looks better on 4. It can only look better on PC.
Well, by virtue of adding this first person mode in, they've had to, like, because the camera's so much closer to the textures, they've had to upscale all the textures, and that's
exciting.
Yeah, that's why it's looking so much better. Like, you know, and of course add that to the fact that you know, putting it on more powerful machines, you're going to get a lot better performance.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I heard that they changed a lot of the way the AI works when you're playing in first person mode, which I don't believe. Because you can just toggle through it at any point, like you're never like restricted to either third person or first person for like missions and stuff.
Yeah, but like, how does that prevent the change from just occurring in real time?
Because surely that you could, I don't know,
you just switch a screen.
It's like in platinum games, character action games.
Yeah.
They enemies will behave differently depending on whether they're displayed on screen or not.
They
are much less likely to attack you from off screen.
That makes a lot of sense. But I would have thought that because like
it's just a switch. If in first person mode,
this set of rules.
I understand that, but I mean
another set.
It seems like to change the way the AI works. Like if you're being chased by the police, you could just like snap into first person, and then like find some exploit.
Could,
that happens
yeah.
when they change between the two and then snap back into third person.
You could.
Yeah, but any feature you add, people are going to try and exploit.
Exactly.
Mm. That doesn't change the fact that you can implement it.
Mm. Either way, it still looks good. Like, I've always...
And it's
like,
not a change to the fundamental point where they're just going to wander off if you change your view.
Yeah.
Also, I heard about new GTA that's coming out on PC in wonderful contrast to the San Andreas patch.
Hmm.
They're adding like 150 new songs.
Holy
to
fuck,
the PC
that
version
many?
That's coming out. Yeah, it's like that many.
Yeah.
I think it's like 153 or something along
be
those
funny,
lines.
Be funny if it was like the songs from San Andreas.
You can only have it in one game, so you just switch it out.
Yeah, they've got a one game license.
I didn't know. I had a quick breeze of the songs. There was
any notable?
Nah, there was a big mix of stuff. It was like there was some more recent stuff, and then there was a lot of sort of older 80s stuff as well. There
well
was a
I haven't
big
played
mix of stuff.
5, but generally the soundtracks in GTA games are excellent.
But
I think it's typically because, you know, there's so many radio stations and it goes from
the
radio stations that you get normally. You can go from moldy oldies all the way up to top 40. So,
or you could be like me and just listen to talk radio for the entire
the,
game.
Yeah,
the talk radio
has always got some of the best satire.
In Vice
yeah.
City, I remember specifically, it was hilarious. It was so funny.
Is
it wrong for me to embezzle church funds and build a solid gold statue of myself filled with 15 concubines?
What? Are you saying that when your girlfriend's on her periods, you put a tampon in as well? It was like the Rush Limbaugh station, which is just so funny. Oh, boy, boy. It's good. It's good stuff. It's good stuff.
Doing the Too Many Cooks section.
Oh!
too many cooks. So Too Many Cooks happen.
Yeah, that was
and continues to happen so, and live in infamy.
You know, okay. You know how there was the Kim Kardashian nudes that came out? And they were like, break the internet, Kim Kardashian, because their nudes came out.
Too many cooks broke the internet
way more than fucking Kim Kardashian's.
So it got posted on Reddit. I watched it. I'm like, okay, so this is 11 minutes long. Let's watch it. Okay, is the show starting? Okay, this is another thing, right? Go and watch Too Many Cooks.
If you have
don't read up anything about it. Skip the podcast for the moment. Pause it. Go watch Too Many Cooks, then come back.
It's Frog Fractions, the movie.
Yeah, pretty much.
And stick through the first like 4 minutes.
Stay with it.
Now, do you guys know the context that this was originally shown in?
It was like 3 a.m. on Cartoon Network or Adult Swim.
They're the same channel.
Yeah. So Adult Swim, 3 a.m.
in an infomercial slot.
In an infomercial slot. So someone's like, I don't think any
11
on,
minutes.
On, yeah. So someone's like, on Reddit, I don't think anyone's seen this, but it's solid gold. He posted on Reddit, it became one of the biggest things on Reddit. I watched it, I'm like, okay, what's happening? Oh god, oh what is going on? So I pull Ben and Will over and I'm like, you have to watch this. It's 11 minutes long, but bear with me. You have to watch this.
It's Frog Fractions.
So Ben's watching this, he just keeps looking over at me like, wait for it. And then it just does do what it does, and it's like,
I really thought it was going to be one of those things like when you introduce someone to a new piece of music or something like that, and like, oh yeah, this is really really good, and then you're like, oh, you know, this bit's when it gets really good.
It's a slow burn. It's just like
you gotta wait for the sick drop.
Yeah. No, there's no sick drop. It just slowly descends into madness.
When that bald dude, the dude with like the bald patch on the top of his head and then long hair starts showing up, and they like, because it's like the opening credits for like a sitcom or something like that, they show the credit plate on everyone every time they're on screen, to the point at which even when the credits are done like from a different view like front on, but they'll show the credits like on an angle.
My favorite bit is when and watch it.
Oh, because I'm going to spoil something. They're long gone by this point.
They never actually tuned in.
My favorite bit is when that girl, you know, does the freeze frame and smile thing with her name.
Yeah.
And then you can see in the background the dude starts climbing up from underneath the bed. And you with can see her eyes like dashing like from side to side, like looking back.
Yeah. No, my favorite bit is where the title cards and the characters change places.
Oh, where they're like this like nightmare fuel kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, there's dudes coming out, but everyone's got their title cards showing up, but every time he's on screen it's like blurred out, it's like old VHS kind of stuff. It's just really just, it's so fucking hilarious.
It's bizarre, but it's a slow burn. You're like, you think back on it, like, that was really good. But watching it the first time, I was like, what the fuck is going on?
I want to see the pitch meeting for that.
Yeah, this is the equivalent of like Eagle Precedent, which I'm not going to explain at all. where stuff just keeps getting added to a pile. It's like we have to do all of this.
That was so good.
But it was just, that is just one of the most wonderfully bizarre, strange things that I've ever seen.
It's up there with Shia LaBeouf.
Actually, go and watch actual Cannibal Shia LaBeouf, but the live version. It's good.
Yeah, I didn't even know that existed. And
it is so
like,
good.
You don't need
the animation
to
the animation.
No spoilers
good.
For that one.
That's just a step above.
Yeah.
Shy surprise.
Don't spoil the surprise.
It's a shy surprise.
This is a beautiful shy surprise.
No, first time watching Too Many Cooks, I was like, it's an experience. I was like, what the. Okay, click through it.
There are a bunch of other infomercials because they do that on Adult Swim as well. They just have like skits, but infomercial style skits. And there's another one with like a mop that does a bunch of other stuff, and it just goes on for 11 minutes and gets
Swiffer.
Weird. Yeah, kind of like the Swiffer thing.
They're probably nothing like Swiffer.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's
just
weird. It's fucked.
So,
but great.
I can't segue easily into this, but XCOM: Enemy Within's coming to Android.
Oh yeah, I just put that on there.
Too many XCOMs.
Like, I'm a big fan of that game. I don't.
How much is it going to be? Probably 15.
No,
the previous
previous one, I think, was around the $15-$20 mark, and it was an excellent port.
Well, I bought War of the Lions, Final Fantasy Tactics War of the Lions, for like $18 on iOS, and that was well worth it. So
it just seems like, I mean, XCOM seems like the sort of game that would work perfectly fine on in a touch environment.
Yeah.
It would work completely fine.
Yeah, there is a version of what's the original Enemy Unknown?
Enemy Unknown.
Yeah, that's on our phones already.
Oh, okay, cool.
So this is just an updated version that I assume is purchased separately.
Love that game. If I had a tablet, I'd buy it, but I don't. So.
On a side note, the phone that I've got, the Note 4, is what do they call them? Phablets?
Yeah.
Phablets. Yeah, phone tablets.
Yeah,
so,
yeah you
I
right.
do,
yeah.
I do like that too.
I don't know that I could go back to a little phone.
It's small enough. And normal. If you look at it, it's like, how do I fit this in my pocket? There's no issues.
Yeah, you don't even feel it.
No.
You barely even feel it going
in. It just slips right in.
This will shake.
Like a hot dog down.
But it's small enough to be a phone and large enough that you can do tablet things with it. I'd like to play Hearthstone on it when that's actually finally out on Android.
Yeah. Yeah, that I think it'll be good for that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm a big fan of the XCOM games, except for, you know, the Bureau was
yeah,
that
yeah, but that's a different kind of game.
Bad Mass Effect. Did you ever play any of the old XCOM games?
No, were they good or
very similar? Just obviously
they're like Fallout 1-esque in terms of like graphics and.
But yeah, it's still like, you know, you've got your tactical grid, you've got your gearing up guys. People are going to die.
I had a lot of fun blowing up aliens.
Yeah. You could probably pick up the full pack of those on Steam for a couple of bucks.
You do kind of get like, I wouldn't say I've got attached to the characters, but you kind of like, this is my heavy dude for some reason. The RNG is not giving me any other heavy dude. This I can't die.
We talked about Valkyria Chronicles last thing, didn't we?
In anticipation, perhaps
yeah,
not.
Okay. Well, I haven't played it, so
it's out.
Wait, it was
top-selling
game on Steam when it was released.
Yeah,
because
from what I've heard, it's done very well for them. And
Portmore stuff.
I can't remember his name, but the guy who did all the patchwork for Dark Souls to make it
doing
PC port. Not he's done it. He's had a look at it, and he said basically,
it's
in terms of a
solid
PC port, it passes the sniff test. Everything seems solid so far.
That's good. That's good. Yeah, have you got that downloaded yet? Is that
not
all?
Yet.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
It's
like 20 gig or something ridiculous.
Yeah, it's huge.
And on our internet.
Yeah, although that's going to get... let's not get into that.
Getting
Australian politics.
Yeah.
I voted the other day.
That's...
Oh, when
tell us about your voting.
I used a random number generator.
When is that?
My granddad
that,
always
small side? It's got to be next weekend.
My granddad
is
always
the
used to draw helicopters on the ballots.
Where do we vote?
Did you guys not get the option to post it? We probably shouldn't be doing this in the podcast.
Yeah, okay.
There's a state election.
Also, just going to throw this out there. You, for the post vote thing, you get sent a piece of paper, right?
Yeah.
And it's just like, you know, it comes in a normal sized envelope, right? When you unfold the piece
of
paper,
it's huge.
It's fucking huge.
For that federal election, it's the same.
Yeah.
It's just gigantic.
It's ridiculous.
If you do the one where you want to vote, like wonder whatever how many number of candidates there are. But if you just do the simple voting, which is all
you can go like choose all of these candidates like 1 to 5, or you can just put like one number in one of these like 15 boxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's just do that.
Yeah.
We should look into that. Anyway.
Yeah.
I
don't know if I'm in this electorate. I have no idea.
You're probably still in.
I'm probably
like
still in
two electorates ago.
But anyway, doesn't matter.
Moving on.
So segue from that.
Yeah, we can't
segue from local elections, local politics,
local conventions. Pactol's tickets going on sale in early December.
Oh yeah, so keep
pick
an eye
those
on
up
that,
early.
They will go like that because
they went
did
in
last
like a week
year.
Last.
I think it was less than that.
Yeah, it was about a week.
The 3-day ones went in like less than a week, like 4 days or something like that.
The first batch, they did do a couple of batches.
Yeah.
Oh, they did. Okay.
Are you guys planning on going?
Definitely.
Yeah.
100%.
You should go.
Come
for the 3 days.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking of maybe not 3 days because I think I'd just get burnt out. Be
come on Saturday,
days.
Though. Yeah, come on.
Yeah, but
maybe 2 days, one day to see students.
You want
to
give yourself the option for, you know, if there's panels on certain days that you're going
to
figure out.
I went Friday and Saturday and I was fine. I didn't feel the need to go Sunday, but if you're paying for Friday and Saturday, then you're paying just about as much to go Sunday.
Oh, okay.
And even if there's a slow period in the day, then you can just sit out. They've got this like big, the
they call it the handheld lounge. It's just a bunch of bean bags, and everyone sits down and plays.
Plays shit. Okay.
Yeah, it's great.
You can also just wander into the city because it's
that too. Yeah.
I'm assuming it'll be at the convention centre.
Oh yeah, there's nowhere else in Melbourne that's big enough.
Go into a field.
And the convention centre actually had room for them to expand even beyond what was there this year.
Not a huge amount more, but
There's bits. Well, there was, as far as theatres and stuff are concerned, there is a bigger theatre.
Oh, there is.
Yeah, there is a bigger theatre. It's where they've done. Oh, they did.
Maybe that's where the graduation was, or was that?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's where they've done, like, they did with
where
the
Melbourne
Symphony Orchestra. They did a thing with both the Doctor Who music as well as
Lord
the
Rings,
the Lord of the Rings
sort of
music
catch-all gaming one.
Mm.
Yeah.
So they definitely got room to expand, but we've talked about PAX a lot.
Yeah.
Tickets are on sale early December. If you live in Melbourne or you're keen to go, it make sure you get onto them quick because they'll go.
Yeah,
we'll have a panel, right?
We'll have a panel.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll get Robert Koo on the phone.
Yeah. And someone added This War of Mine. I assume that was.
It's a game I've been following for a while, and I wanted to talk about more about what the game's about than the actual game, because the actual game kind of looks like it bores me. But you play as a civilian in a war zone.
Oh, okay.
And
so what's the... Is it more like you have to escape and not get shot, or...
You just have to survive for as long as you can, I think. And then I think after a certain amount of time, maybe there's an end. I don't know.
Have you actually played it?
Not yet. It doesn't look like the kind of game play that would interest me, because I'm a pleb when it comes to the budget. First-person shooters only. No.
from what I've seen of it, it looks like a 2D version of State of Decay. So a lot of resource gathering and fortification and helping out other survivors.
Yeah. Or maybe not, which apparently affects your characters, you know, blah, 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 blah.
Mental
so
states.
It's more of
like
you pick
like,
this up and play it for an hour rather than it's a story game.
It's
kind of make your
unless
own story.
There is a story in this. It's the
so
it's
more
like
Don't Starve,
it's the kind of game where you make your own story.
Sure.
I mean, State of Decay when it first came out had a story mode, but don't play that. Play the mode where it's just okay, here's you.
Go.
Yeah,
have fun. It's like Minecraft without blocks.
See how that goes. And Paranormal Activity Guy.
Oh, yeah.
Paranormal Activity
we
Guy.
We should really have looked up
name.
His name.
No. I don't want to know his name. Paranormal Activity
so
Guy.
It's Paranautical.
This fella.
Paranautical.
So he. I think the direct quote basically was the dude, and he went out. So he quit.
Yeah.
Then he went out and he was like, shit, dudes, finding a job is really, really hard,
especially when
you
just shit all over your own name.
Yeah, and threatened, and so...
Sent a death threat.
And I'm pretty certain another one of the... He couldn't commit to the idea of quitting or something like that. So he's basically...
I've made a huge mistake.
Is he back on Steam? Because if he's not a PC person, then you can't survive unless you're on Steam.
Mm. I don't know.
Not really.
Yeah.
Unless you... Well, I mean, you can, but it's very difficult.
It's very
and not difficult. If you're him.
Yeah, you have to have the groundswell first, which it's getting harder and harder to do.
Yeah.
So now we come down to the ultimate question. Is he better or worse than Phil Fish?
Yes.
No, Phil Fish is worse.
Phil Fish
makes a
good
bit of games.
Game.
Yeah. Fez was pretty good.
But, yeah, this guy was...
Like, Phil Fish, he's dedicated. He hasn't come back. I haven't heard anything from Phil Fish except for like
may have done.
Random
we should just
comments.
We should just follow his Twitter and you know, see what he's up to.
Yeah, he just randomly tweets shit.
Taking pictures of cakes.
Mic drops and leaves the room.
Yeah.
But yeah, this guy, he's still even on their PR team. He was like their sole PR dude and now they've got two people that are on
sorry,
the PR.
Who are you talking about?
The Paranautical Activity guy.
Oh, right.
He was like the guy that did all their PR.
Yeah.
And now they're like, oh, he's still going to do PR, but there's going to be another dude helping him now.
There's
going
to be another
well.
Dude holding your hand and telling you to shut up.
Yeah. It's just...
good public relations. Threaten to kill
someone.
Yeah.
So, well done to that guy.
Death threats get you done.
So, news for Ben and I. In other news, it's like, well, this is in the other news section rather than the game news because it's kind of not a game. But if you're into visual novels, Clannad is on Kickstarter. I don't know why they're getting Kickstarter. Are they coming to Steam or something? Or
I think the intention is that they come to Steam.
So
Clannad is an all ages game, so they don't have to
no
worry
porn.
About having to censor themselves to get
it's
on Steam.
One of
which
the most
a lot of visual novels that are being released on there now are.
Yeah, it's one of the most famous visual novels, I think.
By one of the most famous visual novel companies.
Who are they?
Key. I've never played anything
yeah.
by them, but by all accounts, everything they put out is gold and will make you cry manly tears.
So, widely regarded as one of the saddest or most tear-jerking, as opposed to just jerking.
Jerk out those man tears.
Now,
beat me to that joke.
There is your box quote.
What? Which one?
A real tearjerker, not just a regular jerker.
Sure, we'll do that. I think the milk one's...
title of the podcast.
I think it should just be not just your regular jerker.
I actually meant a box quote for the game when it's
released. Oh, okay, sure. No, the milk one is still going to be the title of the podcast title. Anyway, but the more visual novels...
Visuals.
More visual novels on Steam, you know, getting to wider audience, it's a good thing. I think there's a lot of solid...
Higurashi is coming out soon. Yeah. I'm going to have to pick that up.
A lot of solid stories. Regardless of whether or not there's porn in it, like... The stories are quite solid, and I don't think very many people play it for the porn anyway.
Like, if there have been scenes removed, I would prefer to play the original, just because that's the way I am. But if there's no porn in it, but it's a good story, that's not going to stop me from playing it.
Absolutely. Couple of... No, Will. Sorry.
I'm making faces.
He just flopped his dick out!
So next couple...
So big and veiny.
Next couple are about... US stuff in Australia. Number one, there's Australia Post is setting up a warehouse in the US so that you can have stuff shipped in the US to Australia Post and they'll ship it to Australia.
Yay.
So you aren't completely screwed on Australian regional, like you have to pay more because you're in Australia.
$50 for postage.
Yeah, so you just ship it to them and they'll forward it on to you. So you reduce
it. I was going to buy something postage. From some website, some merch from some website, and the like postage choices were like, they went from like $7 to like 25, and 25 sounds pretty reasonable from getting something from America. Like,
I think
that's what you'd expect.
The standard postage for America is 25.
Yeah,
for AusPost.
But the $7 one, I was like, I don't know if I should trust this at all.
Yeah.
So
that's good. The other one is Netflix to launch in Australia. Finally, in 2015.
Officially.
Officially.
Although, you're still probably better off going
to
the US.
If the UK version is anything to go by, the level of content is pretty diminished.
So, you're probably better off going with the US version if you can get the VPN,
mm-hmm.
because we just don't have the licensing rights.
Nope.
Because, you know, Australia's not important.
No.
Also, fuck them for pirating. Those bastards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Criminals.
We won't release anything there. And then why do they download our shit? No other way to get it, you idiots.
Now it's Will's time to shine.
It's the podcast space section.
Can we get like a theme song just for the space section?
Okay,
make one?
No, we can't make one. But there'll be some music playing underneath some space age music.
2001: A Space Odyssey playing.
I'll fade it in.
So the probe that was designed to land on a comet, the Philae probe, the one with the harpoons, which I was super excited about last fortnight. The harpoons kind of didn't work,
surprisingly.
because they were landing on a comet. The thing is not very big. It's like 4 kilometers in length. So as a result, it's obviously got really, really low gravity. So unlike when they landed on the moon, where you had to use thrusters in order to arrest your descent so you didn't crash into it, they don't have to do that. They just send the thing down. It basically just floats down and lands. But because it's got such low gravity, you got a really big chance of it just sort of bouncing back off again, which is what it did, because that's why it had harpoons in order to stop it. So it shot out its harpoons, or didn't shoot out its harpoons. They didn't work. The thing bounced and landed a kilometer off site. Because it landed a kilometer off site, it landed a bit unluckily, where it's like in the shade of a cliff.
Yeah.
And because it's solar powered, it kind of ran out of juice. So they had about a little less than a week of operational time before the thing ran out of juice. They're hopeful that once it gets closer to the sun,
shadows will shift.
Yeah, so like early next year, the shadows will shift and it'll be able to get more battery power.
They just got to send up another probe to hit the on button.
I think it's still very impressive. Like, the thing didn't work 100%.
They put a small thing launched
in
2004.
This thing was launched 10 years ago.
Based upon 90s tech, because it was meant to launch in the year 2000, but they had problems with the launch delivery vehicle, which meant that they had to change their comet target twice. It's still impressive that it lasts that long.
It's still really cool. Yeah, something that's been in space for 10 years has successfully... even if it landed in the wrong spot, it's still landed on a fucking comet.
It is in one piece.
Armageddon is now possible.
It's possible!
That movie, man.
Don't want to miss a thing.
Don't want to miss a thing. So yeah, that's super exciting. I'm really, really, I'm really excited to see some of the results that come out from that. It'll probably be dry as dishwater, but I'll find it interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of other people won't.
Space.
Yeah.
Space is cool.
Hashtag just space things.
I recommended a book a couple of weeks ago that I just started reading that's about...
recommended a book you hadn't started reading?
No, I'd read a bit of it.
Oh,
and
okay.
I was already, you know, already felt like it was going to be pretty interesting. It's sort of like a history on rocket development and then space travel. Man, some of the stuff from that, like, because the first country to really develop liquid-fueled rockets as opposed to solid-fueled rockets were Germany during World War II. And... It is really like the development of early liquid fuel rockets is like it's soaked in blood, man. It was just they were just using
shit exploded.
Well, no, that but they were also using
the liquid fuel is actually blood.
They were using slave labor, basically. They were using slave labor in order to construct all of these rockets.
Wasn't like one of the things was like the US was like. We'll accept like your surrender on the condition that like you give us all of your like research and shit, because I'm pretty sure that's what they did with like Japan with like some creepy researchers that they were like,
oh,
it's possible.
We'll
just...
give you like citizenship in America. We'll pardon you for your war crimes if you give us all your research.
I've heard something to that.
A lot of the
Unit 7, yeah,
a lot of the
my favorite Evangelion.
A lot of the. A lot of the developmental rocket scientists that did work on that...
Unit 731.
Yeah, that's the one.
They're terrifying.
In Nazi Germany did end up working for NASA, like a lot of the head guys, because they were just the most experienced. There was a funny bit that I just read. They're like, they're sort of negotiating their surrender at the moment, these guys that worked for the rocket stuff. They're like, we hate the French. We hate the French. We hate the Russians. We don't think the English can afford us. So therefore, we got the Americans. They're the only ones left.
Oh, fucking hell. Although that is true. Fuck the French.
Whoa. Whoa.
Sorry,
we
got
all our French listeners.
it's the English coming out in you.
The Parisians are apparently not particularly nice to deal with, but rural France is fine.
That is an interesting segue. And I know none of you guys are interested in this, but DreamHack Winter's coming up. And two of the French teams, two of the really big French
teams,
Counter-Strike Global Offensive teams, which I'm really interested in, one of each of their members were caught hacking, and they both got disqualified, and so there's a LAN to, like, replace those teams. Both of them French teams, and so there's a whole bunch of racist comments on forums right now. Like, that's no wonder you couldn't defend, you know, whatever, you have to use aimbots.
That's not
exactly big news.
Let's not diminish the French contribution to World War II, because they did do a lot.
I'm not
being serious in any racist comments towards the French, but I find it interesting that only the French teams
have contributed greatly to the field of putting garlic in things
and
butter.
Garlic and butter. Just put garlic and butter on like ice cream.
No, when you're
cruiser.
Right next door to the main people that are trying to blow up everything.
Surrender was the only option to stop having France blown up.
Rest in peace, France.
They did a lot in Northern Africa, and they did a lot in terms of
their short shorts in Africa.
The French revolutionary forces.
The resistance.
Those
forces
old photos of those awesome safari hats with the really short shorts. It's hilarious.
Okay, so new segment, new section, because we've got plenty of time now. So
what are we at?
In terms of time, we got plenty of time. We got at least an hour, maybe a bit less. Anyway. We're doing some discussion. So
that's right.
I've got a question. If you've got a question that you want to ask everyone, just could be anything random.
More importantly, if you, the listener, have a question,
send it to podcast at itsallcanon.com. And please do.
Subject to so fucking gay.
We'll answer any question.
Literally
any question. Send us an email. So just ask some questions. Just for the aim of getting some discussion. Could be anything crappy. Yeah.
Okay. So, which was the first game that impressed you in sound design, not music?
Not soundtrack. So, sound design.
Not soundtrack.
What do you mean by sound design?
So, like, shooting sounds, environmental sounds.
Sound effects,
not the
Foley,
music. It's hard to pin down. I have one.
Yeah?
Jonathan, you can go first, because you've
first
already
game,
thought about this.
Yeah, it was Battlefield 3. That really, really impressed me in terms of the sound effects and stuff. And I know you guys aren't into a lot of AAA titles, and especially the Battlefield series, because I still play Battlefield.
Yeah, we're too hipster.
Too hipster for that. Fucking Melbourne.
You've got to get your coffee.
It just really impressed me with the complete diversity of sounds for like bullets flying past you at like a certain distance for different guns, for the different caliber of like shot that was fired. You know,
it seems like it would be the kind of thing where they'd be super accurate with the guns as well in terms of the sound effects.
I don't know. They would be super accurate with a few of them. I know a few of them are like, that's clearly wrong.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I can imagine that a few of them are pretty accurate.
I had one. So, Bioshock, I think, was
the first one.
Excellent. Yeah, excellent.
I still haven't managed to get my Bioshock 2 working.
So in terms of like the audio logs, where that was the first big thing to do, the audio logs, and it sounds crackly, and you know, you have that kind of degraded sound.
Yeah.
But also, it added so much to the atmosphere in terms of all the underwater sounds and kind of things dripping and like kind of sounds being muted when you're in those like tunnels. And
when you are in Bioshock 2, I was really really happy with like when things hit you, it sounds metallic.
Yeah, yeah,
like you get smashed the like a wrench and it goes doom.
Yeah,
I really like that.
So I think Bioshock that added so much to the atmosphere.
Well, that's what I like about the Bioshock games.
It's all atmosphere.
Yeah.
That's where most of the good stuff comes from.
I guess thinking back, for me, it would probably be something like Dead Space.
Is another really good one, yeah.
But probably for similar reasons that you're saying in Bioshock, there was a lot of that.
Yeah.
There was audio logs in that as well, and they did a lot of stuff where like you would go into a vacuum area where they wouldn't, and it would be very, you know, there'd be very muted sounds. You would only hear like what you would sort of more describe as transmitted sounds,
yeah,
as opposed to like very bassy noises, the stuff that might go through solid surfaces as opposed to just like through the air. So
yeah,
you hear like very bassy noises a lot more and stuff like that. And you know, because you're on this dilapidated, this fucked up spaceship, and you'd hear like creaking and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're wondering if the entire thing's going to collapse and your atmosphere is going to be vented any second now.
Mm.
I thought that was really cool. And I really enjoyed it. I mean, I know a lot of people felt, I mean, and yes, yes, Dead Space was probably not so much of a horror game as
the first one was.
It's a bit more jump scary than Silent Hill.
Yeah,
I still felt the atmosphere was pretty darn potent. Like,
yeah.
I felt like I was,
The ruined space station is a cool setting.
Yeah,
that's really cool. Dead Space 2, you get to fly around outside them as well, which is really cool.
Blood and guts and stuff all over the place.
Space guts.
I don't know, just it really felt like something that had been inspired by one of those old school, not old school, but you know, a space horror type movie like Event Horizon.
Yeah.
Even though it's a tacky
We need Sam Neill in more video games.
Sunshine?
Yeah,
although Sunshine
really
felt like two different movies.
Yeah, Sunshine gets a bit
before.
Confused about what it wants to be halfway
through. It's like
through
high concept sci-fi,
right,
and then horror sci-fi.
Horror sci-fi.
Yeah, I didn't make it through all the way through Sunshine.
And separately, they're fine, but like you can't jump between one and the other.
And the jump is very sudden as well. As soon as they discover that second ship, it's just like...
Yeah.
I think we're missing the obvious comparison.
Mm.
Alien.
Yeah.
I mean,
definitely.
That's like the biggest.
I was about to say, yeah. How is that not the first?
No, Alien's not set in space. The first Alien is set on a spaceship, isn't it? Which one's set on a spaceship?
The first one, they go down to the planet and then come back up to the ship.
That's
the
right.
The second one is set on the
planet.
The third one is like
Penal
Mons? Satellite,
yeah,
or penal something?
Something.
Was it a satellite? I can't even remember.
Thanks for bringing the
content.
Penal and pianist.
penal.
Favorite words.
Can you think of anything, Ben?
Yeah, well, when I think good sound design, I think horror games. But for me, it's got to be Silent Hill, especially the first Silent Hill.
Yeah.
Is
that one where like the sound effect happens and then something always turns up when the sound effect happens, but then they
something
start playing
doesn't
that?
Always.
Yeah,
yeah. So Silent Hill, I'd say the first because it's the first one that really did it, and the others sort of, you know, obviously a lesser impact, but they're just as high in quality. Silent Hill has a really good balance of silence and noise.
Without sounding wanky, like knowing when to use silence is a really good...
Yeah, so what, like...
Because if you're constantly hearing shit, it just gets
boring. A lot of the time, especially in the normal version of Silent Hill, there's not a lot of noise. There's sort of only your footsteps and you interacting with things. But very early on in the game, you get a pocket radio, and it doesn't work, but it plays static whenever anything, any monsters or bad things are around. And so it gives you probably half an hour to an hour where that's just consistent, and you know, you'll hear an enemy before you, you'll hear the presence of an enemy with the radio before you hear the enemy, before you see the enemy. So it starts sort of, you know, it starts this Pavlovian response of you getting
shit, where is it?
Yeah. of building this tension just by virtue of this sound. And it starts very quiet, and then as you get closer it gets louder and louder. And then later on in the game, they start playing with, it'll start reacting to things which aren't harmful. So there's like these little ghost children wandering around that don't actually do anything, but they'll set off your radio.
Can you still harm them? Like, I was wondering if like
that. Why would you want to hurt children?
Because if that would be, because if it's you're constantly to damage, if you're constantly told that if you hear the sound, there's an enemy near, and then you see this ghost thing.
I actually can't remember.
I'm always hearing noises when children are near. It doesn't make me want to kill them.
The voices.
kill.
So yeah, that's what it's like in normal Silent Hill. And then when you go to the dark version of Silent Hill, there is a lot of noise, like mechanical industrial noises wherever you go, and of course still the radio, and it's just like incredibly oppressive. It does a fantastic job of building the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was definitely the first game that I really felt absolutely nailed sound.
Yeah. I've only ever played one bit of any Silent Hill games, and that was the first bit of Silent Hill 2, I think.
That's a good point to start.
You're in some diner thing and you're walking along some path. I just remember that being incredibly quiet, except for you just walking, and it was misty
the sound
and
of crunching gravel.
Yeah, and that was like it, and it was just like, I don't want to keep walking.
Yeah, like it's such a striking sound design. Like I can practically hear that in my head right now.
Because horror games aren't good without good sound.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Well, you watch a horror movie without you turn to you meet a horror movie. It's just like, well, this is just shit because I'm watching a movie with no sound.
No, but like on the other hand. Deadly Premonition may have the worst sound design in any game I've ever played, but I love that game.
Is that the one where you're the cop?
It's Twin Peaks the game, basically.
Oh, God.
But like very early in the game, there's two squirrels and something happens to scare them off. I think your car rolls or something, and they make monkey noises.
The squirrels. What?
Yeah. And they've got like three songs, and one of them is this jolly whistling song. So you're talking about this murder investigation. It's just going. Yeah, it's like they've got no idea in terms of sound, but I wouldn't have that game any other way.
Speaking of monkeys, and another one, System Shock 2.
Yeah,
that's a really good one too.
The
where, again,
monkeys?
No, not invisible. No, but again, dilapidated spaceship, things gone to shit, and you just hear like moans from like zombies, and like there are these like monkeys that have been experimented on. They've got like psychic powers because reasons.
Psychic
but you, really? These monkeys are fucking terrifying in terms of they can do some significant damage to you, but you just hear like monkeys and it's like, shit, where are the monkeys? Where are the monkeys?
And also they can get into small spaces.
Oh yeah, they go like
can't necessarily, so you've got to really look
behind
for
you
them when you hear
them.
So it's fucking terrifying.
Yeah, it's one of those games where they build
the
tension as well.
Of like sound design and sort of general environment design, Dead Space draws a lot from that. It just benefits from a lot more advanced technology.
That's a good question. I have a stupid question now.
Okay.
So how big is it? you're in an RPG, a JRPG.
Yeah.
Okay. What's your weapon type?
I put a serious amount of consideration into this when I was in high school, because that was when I first got into anime, and then you're like, holy shit, anime, I'm gonna be an anime or something like that. I reckon I'd use a spear.
Spear?
Yeah, I reckon I'd use a spear.
So like a pokey spear or like a halberd or...
Probably a pokey spear.
Pokey spear?
Pokey spear. I don't know why. I just feel like I'd be better at that with that little bit of range. Apparently, because I read a bit of stuff as well, being tall
and using a spear is useful as well, because you can go over a lot more. Whereas
yeah,
Whereas if you're a sword and board guy, it's better to be a little bit shorter because you got less area that you have to try and protect.
You can just sort of curl up behind the shield.
Is this assuming our current skill with said weapon?
No. So you're proficient. It's just like assume you are proficient with your weapon.
Okay, so what would be the?
It doesn't have to be a melee weapon. You can assume like not rocket launcher, because that's a special weapon, you know what I mean? Like, you have to, so you can assume it's like anything that has been in like a Final Fantasy game,
because I've never really played that many JRPGs.
Auto crossbow,
but the coolest thing,
that moves chainsaw and hockey mask.
The coolest thing that I can imagine would be like some massive two-handed greatsword
you
just
you want like a
sling
like
over
a broad
the
sword.
Like
Auron from Final Fantasy X, or Cloud
great.
With the Buster Sword.
Like Dark Souls 2 Greatsword.
So like Artorias.
Yeah, that.
Okay.
Which would just be the coolest shit, just being...
So like one-handed or two-handed?
One-handed.
One-handed, okay. So that's you're Auron from Final Fantasy X.
Dude, you were the scrawniest.
It's not important.
That's what makes it cool.
But this is giant PG, right? So you got the scrawny guy with the giant tooth.
With the styrofoam sword.
Giant two-handed sword.
Like the wind blows in the
Does someone get that?
Fuck it up. No, I reckon that would be badass. Just having like this giant two-handed sword just like wind back and swing it overhead, slam it down to the ground, and like the earth shatters. I reckon that'd be fucking cool.
Yeah.
So you're going for more of the...
I'm going for show more.
You're going
than...
for aesthetic rather than
combat
effectiveness.
Most definitely. Because, I mean, look, I'm not going to be able to actually kill anyone with it.
No.
Stand still for 5 minutes.
It, like, physicality doesn't come into it. If you're wielding the weapon, you're good with the weapon.
Yeah,
boom. Fuck you.
You could have picked it up for the
first
time.
Unless it's Final Fantasy 2.
What a Final Fantasy... Oh, because you have to try...
It's got, like, Oblivion-style weapon stats.
Just
like,
stand
there
jumping
until
you get to 300 endurance.
Mm.
I remember doing that.
What about you, Ben?
Well, I'm not much of a physical guy, so I think I'd be a wizard and have a staff.
You'd be the staff?
Can
yeah.
you be like...
Or a summoner. Just get someone else to do it for me.
That sounds like you, Ben.
Do you have the giant tome thing, or...?
I think, like, Final Fantasy rules, summoners can have staves, books.
Yeah, I think
it would be great to just have a staff and, like, a purple, like, starred hat and robe. And just like
maybe with wizard misspelled on
yeah, no wizard yeah
no wizard
with yeah
wizard W-I-Z-Z-U-D
yeah.
I've got if you're a summoner and you've got a staff, you can use your staff to get staff to do your work for you.
Staff.
It's too much.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben.
You may leave.
I'll get my coat on the way out.
I'll summon Knights of the Round on you.
No, you won't. Take too long. We don't have that much longer in the podcast. I'm really
and
partial to the giant fist weapons, like Vi style, like huge fists,
like
that?
The ones from Devil May Cry. What were they?
Dragon,
not Bahamut.
Gauntlets.
No.
Agni and Rudra.
Yeah. But like I like the really giant fist weapons.
There is going back to WoW. There's a fist weapon which is like a dragon's head in WoW
called
Pride.
Oh, that's
so
Pride,
cool.
Is it Pride and Greed? Because there's two.
Yeah.
Pride and Prejudice.
But the thing is that I don't play any classes in WoW that can use fist weapons really.
Yeah.
So I have all these awesome fist weapons just sitting in my bank that I can't use.
I remember like daydreaming one time this like character that had these two fist weapons, and it was like the steampunk kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it was like you'd get punched and then it would extend out and like punch you again.
Yeah, that's
so
cool.
Like you
So have I got the game for you?
Yeah, Battlecry.
Yeah.
They have something like that. It's like a punch, like a pugilist
punch,
kind
punch.
Of thing. But they've got like these mechanical things that like
Tommy
more
right
shadow.
Yeah, like that. Yeah.
Andre Felipe.
The pugilist.
Yeah.
Punching strategy.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
That'd be so cool.
I guess I can ask a fairly
yeah,
straight
yeah,
up. Have we got time left?
Yeah,
can,
we got,
can
we
start
we got about
JRPG group? Because
okay.
We've got the dynamic now. Like,
so,
we've got Will, like, basically the tank. We've got me, the useless the useless brawn. We've got Alex, the like fast punching DPS, and we've got
let's go run a dungeon.
Let's go.
Ben can be the healer.
We can go down to the supermarket and raid him for fat loots and ice cream
with my credit card.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a raiding if you pay for it, but anyway,
is it?
Yeah,
it's raiding if you steal.
I mean, this is just it's a fairly easy one, but I've just ripped it up now. I'm wondering what the first game that you guys played that made you realize that you were a gamer.
Oh, okay.
Counter-Strike Source.
That think that the game that you just played a huge amount of, didn't put down, was trying to break your parents' rule of you're only allowed to play video games for half an hour
Absolutely.
A day. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
Pokemon Red.
No,
question. We were allowed, Jonathan and I, if you hadn't picked up, we're brothers.
That's never been mentioned so far.
I don't think that's ever been mentioned. But we were only allowed 20 minutes a day.
Your parents are even more strict than mine.
Yeah, but it gets better. So I bought a Game Boy Pocket. That was the first console I bought with my own money. I had Super Mario Land, which was pretty good, but apparently no one else likes it, so whatever.
Mm.
So this was Christmas or a birthday or something, and I'm like, I want Pokemon, because I'd watched Pokemon on the TV. I'm like, yeah, this looks really good. So I get Pokemon, and I'm just completely, you
just
know,
enveloped.
Picked up Squirtle and just played. So I went and played on my Game Boy, which didn't have a backlight, and I had to buy batteries for... I eventually bought a battery pack, but that's, you know, neither here nor there. And I would just, you know, be sneaky about it and be like, no, I haven't had my 20 minutes today, but I had. So you'd get up really early and you'd play Pokemon, then you'd hide it under your pillow, and I played all the way through that, and I've loved Pokemon ever since. I haven't played the recent ones, unfortunately, but again, when I get a 3DS, I'll probably grab them. But absolutely, Pokemon was where I broke the rules, and I just played that so much. And
it is a good game.
It made me decide that I want to make games, which is kind of happening, but kind of not. So,
you know, when we were younger, we always played, like, Crash, Spyro,
Ratchet
and Clank.
If we played multiplayer as well, that was another thing, we could put our time together.
Yeah.
Oh. So if we were playing multiplayer game, we could have 40 minutes. Yeah.
Sneaky, breaking the system.
Yeah, we broke the system.
No, just put the link cable in and just play single player.
Yeah. But I didn't always play those games, but when we did, I always used to, like, give my turns away, because I just used to always enjoy watching it more. But, like, I still enjoyed the game. But it didn't make me want to go play the game. The first game that made me really want to, like I really want to play more of this was Counter-Strike. And
which one?
Counter-Strike Source.
Yeah.
1.6 is painful. Don't even... 1.6 is so good. No, it's not. It is broken as shit. God damn it. But like...
Okay.
But like,
I'll take your word for it.
It is really bad. The first time I ever played that game was on your laptop...
Oh,
like,
my old laptop?
Ages ago, and
yeah.
I played some shitty gun game server, and I was just hooked.
I like gun game. Gun game's great.
Yeah, I was just hooked from that moment on. I was really, really bad.
Because you got like 1,500 hours in that, yeah?
At the moment, it's like 1,300 or something.
Okay.
Which isn't that much, really, but whatever.
Sounds like a big number to me.
It is a big number, but shut up. I'm just sad that Steam tracks it. But yeah, no, that was the first game that I was like, I was like, I don't know what it is about this game, but this is fantastic. I need to play more of this.
Yeah.
And then now I have, you know, 1,500 hours and I'm playing CSGO too much, and you guys now have a game if I'm playing CSGO.
Yeah, we play a game over at our house, which is Jonathan playing Counter-Strike? And the answer is yes.
It's happened recently. I'm playing WoW, playing Battlefield.
Yeah.
Whatever. Will.
Me.
It's your game.
I reckon mine was when we first got a computer in our house, I went round to a friend's place and I was like, oh, I got a computer now. They're like, oh, that's cool. Have you played any video games? I'm like, no, I haven't really played much of that those sort of things. Like, I played a little bit of 64 and stuff like that, because that was out at the time. And he lent me the original Command & Conquer. And I played the shit out of that. Like, I played crazy huge amounts of just, you know, I was just... And I, for the longest time, that was really the only sort of games that I played. I really just played a lot of RTSs before I diversified a lot. But, yeah, playing a lot of Command & Conquer. There were some damn hard missions in that game at that point. You always knew when you got into a Command & Conquer level and you didn't have a base, you're like... Shit, I've got to use strategy this time. I can't just build as many of the overpowered units as I can and just steamroll them. You had to really manage your dudes and figure out what you were going to do. And, you know, because it'd be like tanks would be weak against infantry, but if I'd shooting him, it'd take a whole lot of time and you'd lose a whole lot of health.
Mm.
But he could run people over with the tanks. So you would always do that, because that would one hit kill him and make them. A little squish noise, a little scream, and yeah. So I played a crazy huge amount of that. I think again, it was like
I would. That was my half an hour because I got half an hour a day to play games. But I was
fancy guy. It was half an hour.
Half an hour.
I was always doing what you like. If my parents went out somewhere, under the computer immediately playing that game on the old 488 or whatever my folks the first computer that they had.
Mm.
So yeah, ever since then I've been pretty big loyalist to the Command and Conquer series. Then Command and Conquer 4 was not amazing, but a lot of the other games I quite enjoyed, like all the Red Alert games. Mm. They were a lot of fun. Tiberium Sun, that may have been the first game I bought with my own money. Tiberium Sun, if it wasn't, I can't remember the time frame exactly, but it was either that or when I bought a 64 and I got Ocarina of Time at the same time as that. So no, I didn't get Ocarina of Time, I got Pod Race. That was the first game I owned on 64.
Good game.
Pretty good game. Although there, you know, I'm sure everyone remembers the old Nintendo 64 controller. You, in order to go fast, you had to both hold down the acceleration button, which I can't fucking remember what that was, but you also had to push the stick forward.
Yeah.
And my thumb ended up ruined from holding that stick forward.
Yeah, that's fucking bad. The analog stick. I mean, it was the very first analog stick on a game controller.
Yeah.
But it was so bad.
Yeah.
And anyone
that had Mario Party, the stick was ruined because
you wear out a bit of skin on your hand from doing the
twirling. No, I must play Mario Party.
Or what was it? What was it that, because there was the plastic that would stop it, but the sensor went further than that. So if you eroded part of the plastic, like removed part of the plastic, you could actually go faster.
Really?
Because you could push it further forward because the sensor went further than the plastic would allow it to go. Yeah.
That's called
competitive pod racing.
Yeah.
Competitive pod racing.
So, all right, you, Ben.
Let me tell you a tale.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Back when I was a young man.
When Ben was a young man.
When I was a young warthog. I would come home after school and I would meet up with the girl next door. And we would go around to her house and go into her bedroom.
Yeah, I'm waiting for this.
Yeah.
And we would play the shit out of some Sonic 2.
Oh, man.
And
is that what the kids are calling it?
Well,
something rings.
I had to go fast. So that was, I'm not sure if that or Mario World was the first game I ever played, but it was certainly the one that had the biggest impact on me, and it's still probably my favorite game. But yeah, it was at that point that I knew, you know, I've got to get one of these. And, well, my parents did try to give me my uncle's old Atari 2600 as a cheap alternative. Like, there was no change in the fact that I had to have a Mega Drive.
Yeah.
And after much begging and pleading, I did get one and a copy of Sonic 2. And, I play through that game multiple times a year ever since.
Yeah. This guy, you guys, 20 minutes, half an hour. Fucking didn't have a limit.
As long as I want.
Fucking didn't have a limit.
As long as my grades were good, I could spend my free time however I liked.
So we need to now beat him up, right?
Yeah.
That is that's the rule, right?
Yeah.
It also doesn't. Like, when I was in year 12, like, I would spend a decent bit of time after school work, all my free time gaming, and my dad wanted to stop me and make me study, and fortunately my mom managed to convince him, look, whatever he's doing, it's working, don't change it.
Yeah.
Well, actually,
this dude absorbs information like a fucking sponge.
Yeah, so do I.
I
am the man sponge.
I studied I studied crazy hard. He got better marks than me, this fucking asshole.
I leveled my paladin during my year 12 exams. I did maybe an hour worth of study in total. Yeah.
You fucking kidding me?
No.
I did like 3 hours a night.
I'm one of those people, and it's unfortunate because really I could have done much better if I'd studied.
Mm.
But I think I absorb information well enough that I can just.
Yeah, I could do that until about year 9,
yeah.
And then my natural intelligence started to wane, and I actually had to start studying at that point once I got the first couple of D's on my report.
You're much better off building up that habit and getting into the habit of,
Oh yeah, like studying. It definitely came back to bite me in the ass when I went to uni.
Mm.
No, it did bite me in the ass at uni.
I was see, I
unfortunately
the problem with my uni was I got to uni and I discovered a little compound called alcohol drank quite a bit too much of that, and so as a result my university study became cram study. I had most of the time my exams were pretty well set out, like I'd had a, have like half a week before, so that's enough time to cram most of the time.
Yeah.
But there was one point I had one exam at like 2 p.m. in the afternoon, so the exam went from 2 till 5, and I had another exam at 9 a.m. the next morning, and I hadn't studied for it at all.
So 5 to 9 cram.
I got home at about 6, I crammed from then until about 3 a.m.
Oh god.
Got up 3 hours later, went and did the exam, scraped a 54 on it. So 54. Just enough to pass. Scraped a pass.
Yeah.
So that was because that would have been embarrassing if I'd
We probably have enough time for one more question.
I've got one.
Yeah.
Okay.
It must be my turn.
Actually we'll make this a section where everyone thinks up one question.
Okay.
If we have to run out quickly, we'll do that.
I might be stealing this from a few other podcasts that I listen to, but at least three of us around this table seem to really like Japanese games. So, own, work for, burn to the ground.
Okay, so this is companies. The game studios, yeah.
And I'm going to give you three, and you've got to make the decision. You've got to put one in each category.
Okay.
It's like Kill, Marry, Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so.
Oh, so you're going to name ones and
I'm
going to
name
right,
three,
gotcha.
And you've got to put them in their
okay.
places.
Okay.
I'm not even sure
so
I'm
this
gonna
is
recognize
own, coffee. Work for, burn down.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Square Enix.
Oh.
Capcom.
Mm-hmm.
Konami.
I'm assuming we're talking.
I bet you're all hoping I was going to drop Sega in there.
I assume we're all talking current Squeenix as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Not old Squeenix. I would own Capcom. No, sorry. I would own. What was the last one you said?
Konami.
I would own Konami. Work Capcom, burn Squeenix to the ground. I like Squeenix games, but I feel like their business model's not the best in the world. So that's probably where
you
I
kill me, Ben.
That's probably what I would go. Capcom, I think they've got a great design philosophy. I'm not a particularly big fan of the games that they produce just because they're not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
But I think they produce quality stuff. And I'm a pretty big Metal Gear Solid fanboy, so
yeah.
That's probably why I'd say own.
I'd say the same thing. Because Capcom have done some pretty good stuff in terms of financials. Were maybe not as good as actually none of them are particularly good in terms of financials. But I'd own Capcom, work for Konami, and unfortunately, and it kills me to say it because I love a lot of Square Enix stuff, but I'd have to burn Square Enix if I had to put one if I had to choose one to
yeah.
if I had to, because you know Metal Gear Solid, you'd want to work on Metal Gear Solid, right? Like
yeah.
So that's the dream.
Yeah, so, yeah. I would go the same as Will because I'm not entirely familiar with any of these companies, but I do like Metal Gear Solid. I have played quite a few games at Capcom. Have made and they're
but Square Enix are kind of bringing it back with just in terms of Final Fantasy. In terms of Final Fantasy 15 looks really good.
Mm.
Final Fantasy 14 is still really good.
I'm not a big Final Fantasy fan.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and
you're gonna have
but
to
their financials have
ground.
Been pretty. Yeah. What about you?
Well, yeah, I got to go with everyone else. I'd have to burn Modern Square to the ground.
Fuck you,
same
Square.
Thing.
It's a mercy killing at this point. But
I really hope the 15 does well for them. Like, nothing would please me more than it comes out. It's like, well, this is the best core Final Fantasy game in ages.
They've published some pretty good games in recent times.
Bravely Default is, I mean, it's not developed by Square, but they published it.
They published Tomb Raider. They published Sleeping Dogs.
Deus Ex.
That's the one I was thinking of. Human Revolution.
Yeah,
what it was called.
Yeah,
right?
Like all the old Eidos properties. Square owns
Eidos.
Them.
That's not a name I've heard in a long time.
Obi Wan Kenobi. That's a name I've not heard in a long while. So they own all those old properties. So they're now publishing the sort of re-envisionings of them. But. Yeah, I would have to own Capcom.
Yeah, so same as everyone.
I think
yeah.
just by the fact that they put out so much DLC for things and they continue to do so, that must be selling. So I think they're probably... Square's probably making more money than them, but I think they'd be making a decent bit of money. But also, if I owned them, I would be in a good position to push two things. One, bring back Mega Man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
Two, bring back Resident Evil.
Yeah. Not this.
Old Resident Evil.
Yeah.
So you keep Resident Evil where it is, although
and
Evil Within is
RE2 remake.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that seems pretty solid. And you'd work presumably the same
Konami.
Thing.
Well, Konami like they've got Castlevania and they've got Metal Gear. They're sort of my big team for Konami. But just from what I've heard, the development of Metal Gear games, it sounds like a really fun environment to be working in.
From what I've heard from Metal Gear Solid 2 specifically, is that everyone was fairly involved with the design process.
Like
everyone was encouraged to
put
design
in an idea,
and that's where
and so many of those made it into the game, like the freezing
bombs. Freezing the bombs came from someone else who's like, oh, that'd be cool if we have this freeze like this coolant where you freeze the bombs all around the structure.
I think that's why there is just rollers. Even if you can pass by 99% of it, there's just so much content in a Metal Gear game.
It's 90% Easter eggs. and the lore and the story of Metal Gear Solid and all of the little things.
Yeah, maybe
like,
if I worked there, I'd be able to understand it.
Yeah. But it's like, there's all these little things, especially in Metal Gear Solid 3, there are just so many tiny things that are like, who thought of that? That'd be awesome.
I love those moments in games where it's just like, holy shit, that worked. Like, that's in
Metal
the
Gear Solid 3 is
they
the
thought of
that.
That.
Yeah, there's
yeah.
a bit in PT with the fridge thing above, and it's like kicking from side to side sometimes, but sometimes not.
PT is Silent Hills.
The playtest demo thing, whatever it is.
It's Silent Hills, I think, is the actual name for it.
Well, the actual demo thing.
Yeah.
But that, like, blood's oozing from it, right? And if you go underneath it and you look up, it like actually drips onto your face.
Yeah,
like,
that's
holy shit, that actually
works.
Metal Gear Solid 2 with the bird poop.
Well, yeah, you
well,
fall over the bird
shit. When you're out on the tanker and it's raining, you're getting water droplets on your vision.
But yeah, I think that's a good one. If you're running low on questions, well, then you can think of something like that.
Mm.
Like with Western stuff, or you know.
Yeah. That
is
a good idea. That's because it tends to be.
Or just do fuck, marry, kill.
Do you?
Phil Fish, Edmund McMillan,
Notch.
I've got to marry Notch.
Yeah, he seems like a big cuddly bear.
And
the money.
you fuck Phil Fish because he's crazy.
Yeah.
As you know,
crazy
right?
in the head.
Crazy's always.
I guess
we
gotta kill him. We gotta
kill Edmund Miller.
But
he seems probably be into it.
Yeah.
Is he the guy who
Bonnie Barzek Meatball?
Yeah.
Anyway, well, that was a serious question.
That was a weird one. Do you think it's too early? Maybe we should leave this to next podcast to start Game of the Year for people. Maybe that's a next
for
podcast. For
2013?
For this year, for 2014.
That wasn't released this year.
I only played it this year.
We can think about it, and then we'll think about it.
Come back next week with some nominations.
Yeah.
Okay, we can do a couple of different categories. We can do game and things as well. So
best soundtrack, best game.
Yeah.
Oh well, I'll make a list of categories for people to think up.
Cool.
All right. Well, thank you for not listening. No one's listening.
Seriously,
a single email. One single email will make my phone.
We should also probably announce that the Winner Cat competition has been closed.
Oh no! Half closed.
Half closed.
You
can only win one cat.
who's the docile, lovely one? The spastic, lovely one has been adopted. So if you are interested, let me know. Send an email.
Don't cry.
In 25 words or less, write an email.
Seriously, put something in the subject and just send that. But yeah, thanks for listening. This has been episode 4. I'm Alex.
Has it? This is episode 3.
Episode 4. We're going to split this into 2.
No,
this is episode 3.
Yes, it is.
Episode 3.
Would you like to drop the podcast email once more?
This is podcast@itsallcanon.com.
So
seriously, send anything.
Yeah, anything.
Next week we will start reading out the Podomatic updates.
Yeah. Don't make us. We want an email. Save us from this horrible, horrible fate. So I'm Alex.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Will.
I'm Ben.
And we'll see you next fortnight.
Bye.
Butts.
I love you.
I love butts.
twisting and sad.